Stay tuned for The Lynn Show. Today, I'm going to continue to talk about the roles that we play in our lives, how we learn them in our early childhood, and how playing those roles, as opposed to being who we really are, stops us from doing what we want to do, being who we want to be, actually being who we might already be. I'm going to give you an exercise to help you figure out what are the roles that get played in your family and which ones might be yours and how that system might be balanced. I'm going to play an interview with actor, director Pam Wiley, and I'm going to play a cut from a jazz album. So, stay tuned. Here come the show.
Hearing from an inner voice, finding choice where there's no choice, with gentle prodding from the voice. Oh, you really can.
Welcome to The Lynn Show. The Lynn Show is all about becoming who you really are. Now, you might not think that that's such a complicated or difficult thing to do, but in my 30-odd years as a psychotherapist, it seems to me that that is one of the most difficult things we ever attempt. Most of us are not actually who we really are, or at least not entirely who we really are. We are instead acting out roles which were assigned to us in the early years of our childhood. Last week, I talked about how we take on these roles, how they're assigned to us. And if you didn't hear the show last week and you are interested in it, hopefully it is up on my website. The website is The Lynn Show, thelynnshow.com, thelynnshow.com. And if the show isn't up there yet, this information is in my book, When You Can, You Will, which you can also get access to on the website. But if you did hear the show last week and or if you're just interested in learning more about how to become who you really are, how to discover what you may be doing, thinking, acting, saying, that isn't really integral to you, isn't really the essential you. We all know that, you know, it feels wrong, it feels odd, it feels awkward, we feel anxious, we feel not quite right. But most of these roles we've been playing all our lives, and so we assume that they are who we are. Of course, the problem with this is, if there's a quality that you have but you don't have access to, if there's a way that you can be in the world but you were encouraged to deny that in childhood, then there are things that you could do, ways that you could be, things you could have, perhaps, relationships, activities, careers, that you're not accessing, but that are possible for you. So this show is all about how to figure that out and become who you really are. And in the first half of the show, I talk about concepts from the book, things that I talk about the ways in which we get stuck, the obstacles between us and becoming who we are. And in the second half of the show, I'm doing a series of interviews called Anatomy of an Artist. And these interviews all explore how these people became who they are, how they discovered or found it, or how it found them. So in the first half of this show, I'm continuing to talk about family roles. And I'm going to give you an exercise called the Family Pie Exercise, in which you can begin the discovery process, discovering the roles that are played in your family system and which ones got assigned to you. So perhaps you can see that whatever it feels like, we are all, to some extent or another, playing roles. That is, we've been pretending, even to ourselves, that we're someone we're not. Why would we do that? Well, we do that because our families need balance, and in order to get balance, they carefully assign different roles to different family members. But playing a role, no matter how long we've been playing it and how much we believe it to be true, takes energy. And the energy that we have to spend keeping our role in place, well, that energy is stolen from living the life that would really be right for us. Do you know when you're playing a role? Do you know when you're not really being you, but being someone you think you have to be, someone others would approve of or accept or take care of or love? Frank came to see me complaining that he was exhausted. He had recently been told by his doctor, what his wife had been telling him for years, that he had to slow down, not work so many hours, he had to relax or take a vacation. And although he thought they were probably right, his doctor had told him that his life may well depend on it. He just couldn't seem to do it. He didn't think there was anything I could do to help, but both his doctor and his wife insisted, so he was there. In our early sessions, Frank talked, not surprisingly, mostly about his work. He was a criminal attorney, more like a, quote, a minor savior, he said, telling me proudly that he could count on his fingers the number of cases he'd lost in his over 40-year career. People who put their lives in his hands, he said, knew that he would go to the mat for them. Frank was more reluctant to talk about his early life, telling me the common criticism that, oh, all that's in the past and it's not relevant. But as he was a conscientious person, and he was paying me, he cooperated and told me about his childhood. As the oldest child, Frank learned early that he was responsible for his younger brother. And then, when he turned 10 and his father left the family, he found himself responsible for his alcoholic mother as well. He recalled one particularly vivid incident when he had stayed after school to play stickball in the yard. This was his only indulgence. And he returned home to find his mother passed out on the floor with his 2-year-old brother beside her in a soiled diaper, screaming. Frank was never late coming home again. He never shirked any responsibility after that. And even the thought of going on vacation or relaxing while someone in need needed him made Frank sick to his stomach. But it's not just so-called responsible behavior which we can learn from our families. Frank's little brother Harry learned that he needed saving, and he began a life in which he somehow always got into trouble. Frank would joke that he became a lawyer to keep his brother out of jail. Not entirely a joke. And it isn't only catastrophe which convinces you who you have to be. Arlene's father, who she loved and who loved her, always called her his sweet little princess. He praised her kindness and her even temper and her gentle nature. And now, as a grown woman, Arlene continues to act the part of the sweet little girl and cannot become angry, even when somebody is clearly treating her badly. Like Frank, you may discount the idea that events from the past can be influencing you today. But the more you know about the legacy of your childhood, the more clearly you understand who your family taught you to be and what they taught you to expect from life, the better you will understand why you do whatever it is you're doing today. So, while I've been talking about the past and the legacy of childhood, have you been thinking about how you decided what you had to be? And if there's anything in the legacy of your childhood that's stopping you from being or doing something today? Okay, so let's talk about how you can discover the role that was assigned to you by your family and which you may still be playing. This exercise is called the family pie. And of course, it is also in the book. I'm going to describe it here, and then I'm going to give you a minute to work on it. But you won't be able to do it in a minute. All you'll be able to do is get the idea of it. And then if you want to, you can work on it over time. You can even enlist others, maybe members of your family or friends, to help you. And they might be interested in doing it for themselves. So, to do this exercise, all you need is a piece of paper and something to write with. Probably a pencil, because you might want to make changes. So first, you draw a very big circle. This is your family pie. Break it into as many pieces as there were people in your family. Mom, dad, you, your siblings, and if a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle or stepchildren were living with you, include them. Now, in each piece of the pie, write the qualities which best describe that person. For example, you may think of dad as hardworking or funny, or alcoholic, or loving. Mom might be any of these qualities, or she might have been nurturing, or tentative, or cold. You might think of yourself as kind, or hardworking, or nurturing, or cold. You get the idea. So, do you have a piece of paper and a pencil? Have you drawn your family pie? Well then, now I'm going to give you a minute or so in which to think about it, and maybe jot some notes and make some beginnings of this. And during that time that I'm not talking, I'm going to be playing a flute solo from Jane Hoffman's beautiful CD, The Journey. And when the minute is up, I'll talk again. That was a solo flute track from Jane Hoffman's CD called A Journey. And if you want to get the CD, or find out where Jane is playing, you can contact her at www.janehoffmanoneword.org. So, did you get any information about the roles you and your other family members were assigned and are probably still playing? Once you've gotten more information into your family pie, see if you can recognize how your particular family is balanced. Whatever the division, there will probably be some kind of balance. And if you look really carefully, you may be able to see just how your role fits into the family picture. You may believe that you are just the way you are, and that your family members are also just the way they are. You may believe that you and they are the roles you've been playing, but it's not true. It's much more likely that each of you has been denying parts of yourself in order to maintain the family's balance. It is our desire not to unbalance the family that keeps us locked into roles which we might otherwise abandon. It's almost as though we are bound by invisible threads to the other members of our family. Now, these threads can be broken, but you have to know where they are before you can attempt the surgery. The family pie exercise, as you continue to do it, is designed to help you differentiate between the role that you're playing, the role that you were assigned, and your true self. There is a true self, and it is not limited to the roles you've been playing. So when I talk about a true self, what am I talking about? Well, I'm saying that you have a natural response, and that when you had that natural response as a child, something happened that convinced you that that natural response was ugly, dangerous, threatening. For some reason, that natural response was not okay. Let's say something happened and you got angry and you stomped your feet. Somebody broke your toy or took your toy, then you stomped your feet. Well, perhaps in your family, expressions of anger, outbursts of anger, are taboo. Or maybe it's just that you're the little girl, and the little girl is not supposed to have an outburst of anger. If your brother, you know, was stamping his feet, maybe they would have thought that was okay. In any case, your response is seen by you to be unattractive, dangerous. It brings down disapproval. Maybe they tell you, you know, nice girls don't do that. Or maybe they tell you to go to your room until you feel better. Or maybe they just make faces at you, or they tease you. In any case, you learn that that response, which is a natural response and part of your true self, is not to be exhibited. Well, over time, you figure out how to interrupt that response, how not to be somebody who, in this case, gets visibly, actively angry. After you figure out how not to demonstrate that, you figure out how not to feel it, and then you get the idea that you are somebody who never felt it, never experienced an outburst or a tantrum or an aggressive response to your anger. And so you think of yourself as mild-mannered or gentle or timid or shy or however you define it. Well, that is not your true self. Your true self has the capacity to express anger loudly. What happened to that? Well, it didn't go away. It's underground, and it's influencing other things that happen to you, other ways that you are, other things that you demonstrate. And the energy that it is taking to suppress the expression of anger, even though it's a reflex and even though you're not aware of it, can get in your way. Not to mention that there are times in life when it is not only appropriate but may even be necessary to demonstrate loudly and clearly that this and that behavior makes you angry and you won't stand for it. But when those circumstances occur, when those situations arise, you don't have that because you think of yourself as timid or mild or shy or whatever it is. That timid, mild, or shy definition is a role. It's not your true self. Remember my earlier description of Frank, who was, as a boy, someone who could play stickball, enjoy frivolous activities that didn't have anything to do with anybody but himself, knew what he wanted to do, when he wanted to do it, and was able to express many, many different parts of himself until the moment that he realized that the safety of his mother and his brother might very well depend on his denying his ability, his capacity to do things just for himself. And so he took on this role of the guy who, for whom everyone else's best interests come first. And he played that role so exclusively that his own health was in jeopardy. His capacity to be someone who could take care of his own self had disappeared into the role of someone who is just there to care for others. And of course, then there was Arlene, who created her role in order to fit into what Daddy seemed to want. And it worked extremely well for her as a small child. But I don't have to tell you how not ever being able to be anything except sweet and accommodating is going to get in your way as a grown-up. And so it is desirable to know and be able to come from our true selves. In other words, to become who we really are, which is what the Lynn Show is all about. Letting you know that there is a real, true you, and helping you figure out what happened to those parts of you that you used to have and don't have anymore, and how to begin to recapture them. And perhaps the first step in that is to recognize that it's possible, to begin to wonder what are those parts of you that might have gotten lost, what are the roles, what of what you're doing is a role and not your true self, and to begin to explore the family pie. You will see there all the roles that are being played in your particular system, and what the balance may be, and what role you were assigned. Okay, so that's a lot of serious stuff about becoming who you really are. So now I want to switch to the lighter, well, to me, lighter anyway, part of the show, and that is the interview series that I do called Anatomy of an Artist. I'm playing the second half of an interview that I did with Pam Wiley, who is an actor, teacher, director, and really interesting person who was discovered at the age of 6 by a photographer, and you would hear all of that if you were listening last week. This is the second half of my interview with Pam, and she was talking about all of the things that she's doing, and so you can hear that I'm beginning this part of the interview by saying, wow, it's quite a ride, and it is. She's just like, you know, the single-handed paper hanger busy now, which is terrific. So after a short break, I'm going to play the second half of my interview with Pam, and right before I play it, I'm going to play the commercial which supported her family for 15 years. It's a Calgon water softener commercial, and Pam is the customer at the Chinese Laundry. So right after this break, there'll be a commercial for Calgon water softener, and then the second half of my interview with Pam.
can work the whole damn day, way into the night. Look like I don't need to play. I make out all right. And although I can fool you with my grown-up woman style, behind the woman there's a child.
Get shirts so clean, Mr. Lee?
Ancient Chinese secret.
My husband, some hotshot. Here's his ancient Chinese secret. New improved Calgon. Calgon's two water softeners soften wash water so detergents clean better. In hardest water, Calgon helps detergents get laundry up to 30% cleaner. We need more Calgon.
Ancient Chinese secret, huh?
Calgon helps detergents get laundry up to 30% cleaner.
So here I am.
Boy, it's a ride, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's a ride. Right. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful story. And I'm wondering if there's, I generally ask, if there's anything that you would want to say about making a life
Yes. I do, because I had very specific grounding. I had a very fine upbringing, and I was a very solid, and I am, a very solid citizen. And often I would think to myself that I didn't have what it took because I wasn't odd. I mean, you know, and I probably am odd, but to myself I didn't think I was odd. But I would be, hired, and then everyone around me would seem so much more artistic than me.
Yes.
And so I found that to be somewhat off-putting upon occasion. And
for yourself.
For myself, because I would think, you know, I don't have what it takes, and I would get really kind of blue, you know, not depressed, but a little sad, because I wanted to do it so much, you know. So this passion was bigger than what I thought I had to offer. And now that I have reached the ripe old age I am, I wonder that I wasted so much time, because I don't feel that way anymore.
Yes. It's such, you know, I really understand this. I understand this inside.
Oh, good.
You know, I really do. And I was thinking that because you had that solid foundation, you were able to survive when a lot of people couldn't have.
Well, that's true. And a lot of people didn't,
and
that
didn't.
I've met.
Exactly,
you know,
exactly.
That's very true.
That gave you a breadth of stuff that you could do.
Mm-hmm.
To survive, and still you have a very, very long career.
Yes.
You know, and you've done pretty much everything.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And I wonder if what you were feeling has something to do with a myth that we have in our culture about what it means to be successful, what it means, you know.
Yes. True.
You know, right. And we get that sort of laid on us.
Oh, right? All the time.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And then we have to measure ourselves against that, right?
Yeah. Well, we feel we have to measure ourselves.
Then we do measure ourselves against
exactly.
it. That's exactly right. That's right.
Exactly.
Right. And because it is, I think, an aberration. The standard that we are measuring ourselves against is an aberration, but that's the one. That's the conventional wisdom.
That's right.
You know.
That's right. And I for years wouldn't even tell people I was an actor. You know. I mean, I if somebody would introduce me and say, and she's a wonderful actor, I'd say, oh, you know, thank you. Well, what are you in? Well, I'm not in anything right now. You know, because that's the thing.
Yes.
That's thing.
Or what have you done?
Right.
That's
or what
the
have
other
you
one.
Done?
Right. How would
well,
I know you?
Right. Oh, yes, that's the other one. Oh, yes, how would I know? I know? How would I know you?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, well, you wouldn't. I hide.
But I do think that this is a real dilemma.
It is. I also didn't ever want to be a star. I never thought about being a star.
So what was it that you didn't get that during those moments that you thought you might have gotten or would have wanted to get?
Do
you
well, know? Yes, just work.
More work.
Just work.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, because there are so many people available and interested, because of course once television really mm-hmm. came into our lives, so many things changed, including the visibility of people on that screen and the money, and eventually of course the money that comes with it.
Right.
And
well, not only the money, but clearly if you look at the reality show thing, just the fact that they're on there.
Yes.
Whatever that is.
Exactly.
The you know, notoriety or the visibility, I don't know what it is.
Right.
Whatever it is, it's worth doing because these people aren't making a lot of money at it.
No, exactly.
They're just out there.
That's the reality shows, that's true. In fact, I would say that my television commercial career began to not be so busy when they started using quote-unquote real people.
Yep.
And then, of course, they finally all the big people, famous names or sports figures or whatever, they came into the market.
Right.
And
but you see,
so,
when you say they started using real people, and of course they did, and that's what they're doing now. I mean,
oh,
it's
yes,
just all
exactly.
real people, right?
Absolutely.
That plays right against the idea that you had to be somehow special, odd, you know.
I know, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's not true.
No.
So I recently, interestingly enough, auditioned for a Lipitor commercial. And but I was only allowed to because I take Lipitor.
Wow.
So I think that's an interesting thing to note, that when you watch a pharmaceutical commercial that you ingest,
right.
at least, the person that is talking about it has to be on it.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about real people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really interesting, and I think it's really important. I don't know how to say this. We make the people in the entertainment business separate.
Yeah, we do.
And it's a mixed blessing.
Oh, yeah. It can be very difficult.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we offer them, when they have the kind of success we're talking about here, we offer them a lot of perks. You know, it's a lot of good things come with it.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of bad things come with it, too.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree. You don't have any privacy. And
no.
I didn't want a life like that. I just wanted to
work.
And that's all I still want to do.
Yeah, but
do
that's,
my work.
That's not what drives most people into that.
No, that's true. I just like creating different people.
Well, you just like the thing. You like the thing. You like the work. You like the activity.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And the ability to create. You know, I can't really do anything with my hands. You know, I used to, when I was younger, and I had friends who could sew and embroider and, you know, in my 20s and 30s, and they just regular. I lived in a regular neighborhood, and all these women could do all these different things, but somehow I was special. And I used to say to them, look, I cannot do what you do.
Yeah.
To me, you are so special because you can do that.
But you see, you are talking about that dichotomy, that bizarre thing
yes,
that we
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we're not raising up our teachers here and our
no.
you know, our doctors and our, you know, our, you know.
That's
now,
right.
finally, we are paying attention to our firemen, but they all had to die first.
Oh, I know.
You know,
no.
I mean, it's this thing. And so it makes, I think, people who are journeymen,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yes, yes. Yeah, you're right.
And, it, you know, it seems to me so wonderful a thing mm-hmm. to be. You know, a person who loves the work for the fact of it, who does it with their whole heart, who's committed their life to it.
That's right.
You know, who is enlivened by it.
Right.
You know, this, we're not interested in.
No, right. It's the spark that keeps me going.
That's right.
You know,
that's
little,
right.
Little,
that's right.
It's my Energizer Bunny.
Yes, no, it's true. And I'm really glad that you said this, because I do think that being able to do that, to make a life of it, is an extraordinary gift. And congratulations
to
you.
Thank you very much.
That you not only have done it, but that you have come to see it in the way that you have.
Yeah. I'm very grateful that I grew up. Because I think that's what it takes.
I do too.
You know, you have to grow up about things. And,
well,
and I think I finally grew up.
Well, you see it in the larger context.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm so happy. I mean, I'd love to work again at the Oslo, and I audition, you know, every once in a while, and or at FST, and I audition there every once in a while, but I'm also thrilled to be working at the Players, because community theater is so wonderful for the community.
That's right. And it is actually where you started.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'm thrilled. So, you know, of course, I still have my equity card, and every once in a while I audition for a specific role elsewhere. But as is typical anywhere in any job,
right.
People know people.
That's right.
And they keep using the same people.
That's
it's really
right.
hard to break through, which is just as true here. Mm-hmm. And so to journey over to Orlando or over to all the way to the East Coast to Fort Lauderdale, let's say, and audition for a play, nobody knows who I am.
No.
I mean,
right.
I got a lot on paper, but
they don't
know who I am.
Right.
So I've sort of, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm focusing on Sarasota to see how I can contribute in Sarasota.
And there's a lot of opportunity in
Absolutely.
Sarasota.
Right. I mean, I am so thrilled to be part of the Got a Minute thing because you know, because we've raised a lot of money. This past year brought us over $25,000.
Wow.
And that we could give, we gave $25,000 to the, the Making Strides American Cancer Society here, local, for local use.
Wow.
I'm thrilled to work with Got a Minute. That's really exciting. But I hope to do some acting maybe this summer. Oh, I do. I will be doing some acting this summer.
Oh, yeah. What?
I almost forgot. Mm-hmm. But Jenny Barris's play, Heyday, won last season's The Play's the Thing at the Players.
Mm-hmm.
And I read the part of the Alzheimer's older lady mother in that play. It's very funny. And it is getting a production at the end of August, or sometime in August. I don't have the dates yet. But I will be reprising my role. Only it's a full, you know, it's a full production, so you memorize everything and what have you. And she's done some rewriting, because that's part of the deal. You get critiqued. And so I haven't seen a new script yet. But so I will be getting to act again.
That's great. One of the things that I think separates people from people who have been captured by an art form, from people who make some kind of arbitrary choice about what they're going to do. They're going to be an accountant, they're going to be a computer programmer, they're going to, you know, they're going to go to school and study this thing because they have some facility, or because that somebody told them they could make money at it, or because you have to have a job, or, you know. That the job is about, it's not about the activity so much as it's about what it gets you.
Right, I understand.
You know.
Right.
In L.A., I had, I'm a therapist, and I was treating exclusively writers and artists.
No,
and so I opened the Writers and Artists Institute on our, it's not logo. Our jingle, that's not right either, was for most people their job is what they do, and for writers and actors their job is what they are.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
It doesn't go away because you don't do it anymore.
No, that's right. It's still there.
It's still
definitely
right.
there.
It's still there.
Yes.
And the urge to sing or to dance or to paint or to direct or to,
right.
you know, it's just, you want it,
mm-hmm.
you know.
You
right.
want to be able to do
you
it.
You want to be able to do it, right.
Exactly.
And so while it, again, it's a give and a get, you know, it, people who have that, have a gift, that people who are doing a work just because they have to do a work never understand.
Mm-hmm.
They never have the gift of that. But they also don't pay the price of it.
Exactly.
They retire
exactly.
and they don't care if they never do another tax return.
That's right. Exactly.
You know?
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
I mean, that's the kind of mostly the friends. I mean, other than the people that are involved in the theater around here, the other people who are here that I know, they do so much stuff.
Yes,
I think,
right.
how do they do all that stuff? Well, that's because they're not
attached.
Attached.
That's right.
They don't have anything that really turns them on, so they do lots of different things.
Yes, yes, and yes. I have seen that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder about it.
Yeah.
I wonder about the energy that it takes.
Oh, yeah. It takes a lot of energy.
It does. It does.
Absolutely.
But, of course, they're not siphoning it off into this other thing that they can't help
I know.
Wanting.
I know. Because, right. you know, I'll lie in bed, and I wake up early, and then I'll lie there, and my brain will, I mean, right now I'm working on this play, so what's going on in my head? I didn't like the way that looked last night. I better fix that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and it's just going on and on and on.
I know. I know.
So it is. It's with you all the time.
Because it's integral.
That's right.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
All
so,
the time.
No.
You know, I have to tell you one other thing. I'm also teaching.
Oh,
acting.
Are you? Where?
Yes, at the Players School, at the studio.
Uh-huh.
So I had one session already. I can only do 6 weeks this time. Last year I did 10 weeks, but my schedule didn't permit it. So I have another 6 weeks coming up in starting in February, which I think I start the 18th. Of February for 6 weeks. I should put that in.
How many
for
people
them.
Do you have in the class?
Well, I don't know, whoever comes.
Right.
And the way I teach is whatever you want to accomplish, I will help you do. Because I will give you an example. Last session, I had one woman who gets so passionate about things, she doesn't know how to stop.
Mm.
And, you know, so usually it's becomes uncomfortable for everybody
else. Watching, right,
right. Exactly. Yeah. And she said, and I noticed that actors, they can yell and scream at each other and have this play, and then they come out and they're perfectly normal, you know, people. And I don't know how to stop being
She's talking
feelings.
About in her real life.
In her real life.
Holy cow.
So I thought that was interesting.
It is interesting.
So I gave her a piece to work on that, so she could demonstrate to me her
right.
passion.
Right, right, right.
And of course she didn't have nearly the passion she thinks she has, which is okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. But she, you know, she got going a little bit. I gave her some Virginia Woolf stuff. Who's
oh,
afraid
wow.
of Virginia Woolf?
Well, but my guess is that when her passion gets triggered, it's not intentional. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
I mean,
yes, yes. Exactly.
She can't bring it to bear when she
wants it. It comes out.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
It's out of control.
Exactly.
Right, right, right,
so
right.
that's exactly what we were working on.
Right.
And she did quite well and began to understand that a little bit, though I didn't ever put it that way. We worked on it. And then I had another woman who has to speak a lot in church. And she gets so nervous and she shakes and all the rest of it. So we worked on being... You know, I gave her some monologues to do and create characters, and I said, you know, one of the ways is to forget who you are
That's
and
right.
be another person.
It's great.
You know, and so she right. came back with stories about how much better she's doing in church and all the rest of it.
When she goes there, she's the speaker. She's
That's
not
right.
who she
she's
is.
Not her.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
It's great.
And I had, I'm trying to think if I actually had one person. Oh, yeah, one young man who is a dancer, a folk dancer, but is considering really being an actor. And I'll tell you, he has what it takes because he couldn't do it right off the bat. But as soon as I gave him ideas,
his system
took it in and gave it back
oh.
exactly the way I described. And,
you know, he had my other, I had six students, I think, so he had some of the women in tears once because he was so real. He was so real and honest. And but he just doesn't, he doesn't know how to look at a piece of material and know what it's really about. So I worked with him on that. You know, so everybody comes in with different things.
It's great.
And I don't have a program. It's a lot of extra work from the, you know, because
right,
you can't,
right.
It's not just, okay, here's this paper and here's this book and here's, you know, whatever. It's
these exercises.
These, exactly. So, but it's great.
It's perfect for you.
I love it.
Yeah, it's
and
perfect for you.
So, you know, I haven't gotten huge numbers of people yet, but I have picked up private students and those who want to be actors. And my successes so far is to work with a Russian, a young woman from Russia who's a concert pianist and wants to be an actor. And she ended up being in company at the Players this year after just a little while with me, maybe 4 months. Working to smooth out her accent a bit and also to just relax and because she's a treasure. She's just a treasure. She's so smart. And then a young woman who wanted to audition for the American Music and Drama Academy in New York. And she's a dancer and she sings, but she'd never acted. So I got her a piece of material. She worked on that piece of material. I got her to a certain point. She went to audition. She was accepted.
Yes. Well, all right.
Very
you heard
proud.
It first here. Pam
right.
Wiley teaches at the Players.
Right.
So if you have...
Come and see me if you want to play.
Come and see her. Absolutely. Thank you so much,
Pam. My pleasure. My pleasure.
And that, of course, is the delightful, multi-talented, gracious Pam Wiley, who you can see as an actor in productions at the Players Theatre, who you can study with at the Players Theatre, and whose directorial outings you can see around town. Now, before I do what else I'm going to do in this show, I'm going to do a small commercial for myself. There is an RBC Bank on Siesta Drive and Osprey in Sarasota, Florida, where they will be doing an exhibit of all things Lynn. There you will be able to see the book, the workbook, the audiobook, the CD of the songs that get played in this show. Also the t-shirts and note cards that I've created with sayings that are based on the book. And hopefully those will show up in my website pretty soon. Anyway, for the month of April, those things will all be on exhibit in the Siesta Key branch of the RBC Bank. Again, that's Siesta Key Drive and Osprey. And I will be appearing there late in April, talking about the concepts in the book, what gets between you and being who you want to be. I will also be appearing at Heart's Desire Boutique in Bradenton. And I will be sending out an email blast to that effect. So if you're not already on my email list and getting monthly updates of what's on The Lynn Show, please go up to the website, thelynnshow.com. Remember, that's thelynnshow, and click on Contact Me and say I want to be on your email list, and I will put you on that. And the talk that I'm giving at Heart's Desires will also be a fundraiser. I will talk more about that next week and the week after that, and probably all the weeks running up to the event on April 25th. As always, I want to thank the inimitable Josh Hackney for all of the help that he always is for me. IT, recording, electronics, kindness, and ever-presentness. As I always say, without whom this show could not happen. And again, if you need any of these assistances, just go up on my website, click on Contact Me, say, I need Josh, and I will get him for you. We're going to go out on a version of the song Skylark, the Herb Harris Jazz Trio and the reason we're going out on this is because on bass you will be hearing John Lamb. The first week of this month I played an interview with John, and I'm going to do another interview with him in which he's going to talk about all of the famous people that he played with, and I'm going to play at that time a cut from a CD of a Duke Ellington classic. But just for your enjoyment, we're going to go out on Skylark. And so here, the Herb Harris Trio with Richard Drexler on piano, Herb Harris on drums, and the inimitable John Lamb on bass. Thank you.
see I'm getting older. My hair is turning gray. Oh, you say my face and figure have both seen better days. Well, I won't be retiring. I won't slip out of sight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I just keep returning like some goddamn boomerang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. You see that I have had my shot. My time has come and gone. Oh, won't I please get off the stage, let someone else get on. Well, I won't be relegated or leave without a fight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a bell I keep on ringing, not a chime that I once rang. You may think it's unseemly. Well, I don't give a dang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Rising from the ashes every chance I get. I may be running out of time, but it ain't over yet. 'Cause me and Sister Phoenix, we won't give up the flight. No, no, we will not go gentle into that good night. And I won't go with a whimper. I'm going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I may not be as juicy, hell, but I still got some tang. So